You're listening to your NPR station, WSIU, and now a special program. For the next hour, we'll go on a hike, literally, in the woods with award-winning Carrier Mills history teacher Mark Motzinger. What you are about to hear is a recording of a hike that I took with Mark several years ago. It actually took place and was recorded on November 18, 2016. And the place, the Shawnee National Forest in Saline County, near Pope County. And we're hiking up a place called Murray Bluff, where, as we'll soon hear, one of the mysterious stone walls of southern Illinois is found. And from WSIU Radio, we hope you enjoy the program.
Okay, my recorder is recording now, Mark. Boy, I see what you mean about it's a little bit on the strenuous side. Tell you what, before we go any further, go ahead and tell our listeners exactly where we are here in Saline County.
Okay. Well, I catch my breath.
We are standing on the side of what is known as Murray Bluff in Saline County, not far from the Pope County line, off of Battleford Road. Okay. And the property that we're on right now is part of the Shawnee National Forest, right across the road from what is known as the Reed Chapel Ecological Area. So it's a federal property, so it's open to the public. But it's also right off of a road. We've got Battleford Road, and then it turns off on what is known as Tom Dick Hill Road.
And, interesting name.
Yes. And I found out from a friend of mine whose family grew up here that his uncle, or great uncle I should say, had two mules, Tom and Dick, and they were the only ones that could make it up the hill. So it became known as Tom Dick Hill.
That's how it got its name.
Okay. So we are in, so what we're here now, this is the stone bluff that you discovered, number 11. Let's rewind just a little bit in case somebody doesn't know anything about the stone walls of southern Illinois. What are they, when they were made, and what do people need to know about them?
Well, what's interesting about them is that for years there was 10 of them recorded, and you can actually kind of follow the history along of them. You get into the early 1900s, there was a 4 on the list, and then there was 7 in the list, and then there was 11 on the list, and then they discovered in 72 that it was actually only 10 because one of them was one place with two different names. And so for years, from about 72 on, there was considered to be 10 of them in southern Illinois. And one of them, of course, is the one at Giant City, which is the stone fort wall there. And there's one at Pounds Hollow. There's one at Lust Creek. And there's several, like I said, there's 10 of them. Probably one of the most well-knowns is the one at Stone Fort Bluff, which the town of Stone Fort is named after. And a few years ago, I was kind of pilfering through some old records from the 30s, and I saw the mention that L.O. Trigg had just a brief mention in a handwritten notes that said, went to take a look at the great rocks inside the stone wall at Murray Bluff. And I thought, I have been up on top of Murray Bluff, I can't even tell you how many times, and I've never seen a stone wall. So, being that I was studying the stone walls at the time, and teach at Carrier Mills Stone Fort High School, I drove out here as quick as I could and immediately found it. So I got a hold of Dr. Brian Butler at SIU, and he came out with me, and it was a pretty neat feeling. He looked around at it for a while, and then he said, well, you found number 11. And so it is now recorded as one of the 11 walls, and they documented, and a couple months later, Heather Carey from the Shawnee National Forest came out and looked at it, and we now have it recorded as number 11.
Now, since this is radio, can you describe for us, what do these ancient stone walls look like? I assume they're not like when you see a brand new building being put up today, they're not perfectly rectangular and square. Exactly what do they look like?
Well, one of the things you got to remember is actually how old they are. They're dated at what we call the late woodland period, which is anywhere from about 400 AD up to about 1000 AD. So, you know, they're pretty old. And you've also got to remember that in 1811, 1812, we had the New Madrid earthquake, which is probably what shook most of them down, the hills. Now this one in particular, you can really look and see the scatter down the hill. And these stone walls were made without mortar. And basically what they were mostly rocks, probably anywhere from 50 to 7,500 pounds, about the size that one man could possibly carry. And we are talking about a lot of work to build these things. So it was quite a task. And what they would do is they would go up on top of a lot of times they're called hilltop enclosures, find a place that was maybe surrounded on three sides by bluffs, steep bluffs, and the one place that you could actually get to, they would build a wall across it. You just imagine that if Florida was a peninsula with cliffs around it instead of the ocean, you would build a wall across the Georgia line, is kind of what it would be like.
Okay, so kind of a way for the Native Americans to maybe delineate their territory or something like that.
That's a very good term, and that's it's exactly right. And that is why, you know, at first when the settlers came into the area, they immediately just thought, these are forts, because they were used to forts. They were having Indian problems, and that's how they saw them. Later on, they were more agricultural, and they called them pounds. Later on, they just started calling them walls. But one of my theories is that they were more of a ceremonial area inside, and there's a lot of different theories that people have. But one of the ideas is that it basically said, inside of this area is a special place, and this wall marks off where that special place is. That's what I think.
Fascinating. And I remember earlier when I talked to you about these stone walls, and I kind of asked a dumb question. I said, well, how do you know how old they are? Did you carbon date it? And then it hit me. How do you carbon? You can carbon date the rock, but it may have been formed, Mark, a billion years ago.
Well, basically, the way the archaeologists do it, and it's really about one of the only ways that it can be done. There's only so many things you can do. Is sometimes it's possible to actually try to carbon date material that is underneath the rock. That's a possibility. But one of the things they most often do is the earliest signs of pottery that they find, they usually say, and they can usually tell the time period of the pottery. And they'll say, okay, we find the earliest thing we find here is late woodland, so this is a late woodland site.
Okay. All right, so now back to the present day. So here it is. It's a gorgeous Friday. Here it is, November 18th, and it's probably 60 degrees. We're standing on the side of a little hill. We've just climbed in the forest. And right now I'm looking at a big rock right in front of me. It's maybe 10 feet square, weighing maybe a ton. And up ahead, I just see kind of a jumbled mass. Looks like a rock cliff face. How would you describe this?
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. And there's a... This is a fairly well-known area for the local people. It's a kind of a place where if you want to get out on a short little trip, you can park around the side of the road, and it's a pretty strenuous hike up, but it's not very far. And you can tell where people have camped up here and that type of thing. And there's a trail that goes on that a lot of horse riders followed on down the ridge. But up on top of the bluff, you can see for miles and miles. And one of the interesting things is the Stone Fort Bluff, which was one of the most well-known of the stone walls, you can actually see Stone Fort Bluff from the top of this one. And there are some people that theories are that these were some type of signal sites, that they would signal from one place to the other across this, you know, southern Illinois. And that theory has been kind of hard to prove simply because of where they're at. But this one kind of gives you that idea, because you could literally see from one place to the other.
Which is, if you want to kind of defend your place, you need to have a high vantage point to see potential invaders or something coming up, maybe.
That's exactly right. And there are all kinds of wild theories about these. And there's many different groups, from religious groups to, believe it or not, Nazis. A group of Chicago Nazis even has a theory on these things, which, you know, for some strange reason, they're into archaeology. But one of the kind of stranger theories, and which kind of entertains me, I kind of like looking at these things. I don't take a lot of credence to it, but was that a group of refugees who were actually part of the Roman Empire, who actually got pushed out when Caligula took over, was that they somehow ended up over here, and that they had what was known as the Sun Kingdom of King Juba, And this was kind of a like a Roman legion line that protected the Sun Kingdom, these walls were. There's actually even a book written about it.
I'm astounded, Mark. I didn't realize the Roman Empire even extended over the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, most people don't know that either, but there is a... The whole thing's based on this cave that was supposedly found up in up around Olney area called the Burroughs Cave, and it's all related to that somehow. And, you know, it's that's a pretty hard theory to prove, but to me it's pretty entertaining.
Oh, very entertaining. So am I standing really close to the 11th stone wall?
It is actually, you'd have to be up on top.
Okay.
And we'll have to walk around. And one of the typical things about the stone walls is most of them have kind of an interesting little passageway to get into them. There's like a little rock crevice that you walk through. Okay. And it's some people think that was another part of the ceremonial aspect of it, kind of like a causeway.
Sure.
The only one that is different is the one at Stone Fort Bluff, and it is an arc. It's a giant semicircle. The rest of them are all basically kind of a straight line across the bluff.
Fascinating. You know, that when you said that word arc, the first thing that came into my mind was the Harrison Ford Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Wow. Let's go ahead. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and start walking up. This is a pretty steep hillside that we're walking along the side of. I'd say maybe about a 30-degree incline, you think, Mark?
Well, yeah, the part we just got finished with, it's with the leaves all on the ground, it made it pretty difficult and slick, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Going down will be a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. The next question, we're going up a pretty steep hill in the Shawnee Forest. So back then, they didn't have mechanical means, so the Native Americans literally hauled these rocks up here. Just guess for me, where do you think they hauled these rocks from? Maybe that creek bed down here?
When we're on top, we'll be able to. There's actually a better way to get up here, but there's no trail there.
Okay.
And at the bottom of it, there's a creek down there. So I would imagine they hauled them up from the creek.
Just somehow put them on their back, maybe? Or goodness
gracious. The amount of time and labor that it would have taken to haul that many rocks up here is just astronomical.
And, of course, the Native Americans, especially at that time, they did not have a written system of record keeping, so there, unfortunately, there aren't any physical notes. So.
No, there are none, and you know, and so that makes it even more mysterious
and interesting.
Yeah, and interesting.
So they, and I have to wonder if they probably maybe took some vines or something and lashed the rocks to their back, because some of these rocks probably weighed maybe 100 pounds at least.
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, they're all dry stacked. There's no mortar involved. But also one of the interesting things is I was talking to a tribal leader, kind of just asking him some information about different things. And he said that one of the things that he thinks is significant is the sacrifice of time and labor was part of an offering for all the work that they did.
Makes sense. So it's the Native Americans' way of saying thank you to their gods or spirits for their blessings, and as a way to say thank you, they will spend time and labor building this monument. Is that kind of what
you
said?
That's one of the theories that he had, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes a little sense.
Sure, sure. Okay. Now we're getting into an area. Boy, this moss on this ground is just beautiful, and we're in a little, like a cozy little nook.
It's a very unique rock formations as well. A lot of the swirls and the rocks that you see like in places like Garden of the Gods are very prominent here.
Yeah.
And we're kind of getting to a place where we're going to have to kind of climb a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. I've got my recorder on a harness. and you can tell we're getting close to the top because the wind is picking up a little bit.
It's a good possibility that all the listeners will hear is two 55-year-old men breathing very hard.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not an athlete at all. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the rocks are just absolutely beautiful with the formations and different things they're in.
Oh, yeah. Now, the rocks you're talking about aren't the ones that make up the wall, just the ones that... And it looks like a lot of these rocks have this really pretty light green lichen material on them.
Now we're gonna, right at this spot,
okay, we're almost at
kinda,
the top.
Kind of paint a picture.
Yeah.
As we're walking up the side, we come to an area where it's kind of a difficult area to access. And I actually believe that what we're seeing right here is a portion of a wall. And this isn't the actual main part of the wall, but because there was actually two ways to get up here, they blocked off one of them.
I see, yeah.
And you can kind of see what looks like the portion of a wall right here.
Yeah, I see an otherwise flat area, but then I see pieces of rock sticking up out of the ground. These rocks look to be smaller than the big surrounding rocks. So I can see a man could carry this.
Yes. Now, when we get up on top, it's a very flat area, and that's where a lot of kids come and camp and that type of thing. And you'll see why the wall is actually gone unnoticed, because it's actually kind of down the hill a little ways.
Okay.
We'll get up there in a second.
Sure.
Oh, this is so beautiful, man.
Okay.
And so far, I am so glad to see that I don't see any graffiti or any other dumb stuff like that.
The only thing is every once in a while I'll find some trash right here.
Yeah.
But, this wow. is the very top.
So we are at the top of a bluff.
And if we walk right over here.
And this is Murray Bluff.
This is Murray Bluff. And if you can look off in the distance across the valley.
Oh man, it's beautiful.
You see there's a white barn there.
Yeah.
And right immediately behind it is Stonefort Bluff.
Wow.
In the distance.
Fascinating. So it almost lends credence when you said one theory is maybe it's a way for Native Americans to signal each other?
That's exactly right. And yeah. As a matter of fact, some of the stone, it's what they call stone cairns that were found in different places. Trigg called them smoke towers. Yeah. They may have just been places where the farmers stacked them up. Who knows? But regardless, it does have some credence to the idea.
Oh, yeah.
And if you'll notice that there's a good-sized valley here, and what we have in the distance is the South Fork of the Saline River.
Okay.
And then behind us is the Little Saline River, which runs into the Saline River. And, of course, this turns up and runs into the main Saline over by Equality, and then eventually runs into the Ohio. So this would have been a kind of a transportation corridor.
Sure. Sometimes I'm directionally challenged. What direction are we looking straight ahead at that white barn?
This right here would be west.
Okay.
This would be east, south, and north.
Or okay.
North, south and north this way, yeah.
Okay.
And I came up here 3 years ago on the summer solstice because I wanted to see if there was any anything. And the problem is these trees that are up here probably weren't here then. And so it kind of threw some things off. The next year, I went to the Stone Fort Bluff, where the Ark is at, where the, not the Ark of the Covenant, but the semicircle fort.
Right.
And according to the old records, there were stone cairn, one in the middle, and there was one kind of over in the corner. And as I watched the sun come up, it was a direct line with where the stone cairns used to be. So my personal opinion is that there is some type of a solar reasoning behind the Stone Fort Bluff.
I would think so, because that way the Native Americans knew that, okay, June 21st is here, right. So that means I need to start planting corn or do something connected to agriculture, since they didn't have clocks back then in the traditional sense.
That's right. And one of the things that from the time that I spent living in Africa was that I noticed that a lot of the Native people there had a certain thing that they did in their culture that is somewhat similar to what we see here, in the fact that they had a place that was a special spot that they would, and they used, instead of, they didn't have big rocks, they had big what's called baobab trees, and they would find a little spot where there's baobab trees and then plant bushes between the trees and then have a little entryway, and inside there they would have these little idols that they would go and when they wanted to bless they're going on a fishing trip, or if they were going to, or if they just had a child or something like that, and they would go inside there to do that. And it kind of makes me wonder, is that not what these were?
It's a possibility, because back then they lived very close to nature. Well, they were a part of nature. Their understanding in the cycles was important to their living and dying.
And, you know, and as Westerners with our viewpoints and how we look at things, we got to remember that they looked at the world completely different than we did. We would consider this religion. They just would have considered it probably a way of life, something that they had to do. In their mindset, they had to go bless the local spirits and then plow the ground. kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because, now we just go to the store, put something in the microwave. But back then, there were probably some years that they didn't have a lot to eat. And some years, probably people starved to death back then. So it was a very, what's the word I'm looking for, tenuous existence?
Yes. I mean, it was basically an existence of what some of the missionaries in Africa call it, an existence of minuscule gains. You're constantly working about, thinking about the next hour, the next 2 hours, survival, and you don't really have a whole lot of time to think about the future. But the stone walls kind of, in a way, kind of trump that, because there's literally the amount of time that they took to build these. This must have really been an important thing.
Do you think you and I could replicate this? How many 100-pound stones could you carry up, Mark?
Well,
I know I could carry.
You also got to remember.
Oops.
Oops, don't want to lose you there.
No.
That would be a pretty good fall.
That would not be good.
I would have a hard time explaining that to your listeners.
Yeah.
The sound of helicopters. Yeah. But
and the sound of me cursing, which I would edit out anyway. Boy, that would have been a pretty steep fall. It's nothing but solid rock straight down. How far up are we from the floor there? 40 feet.
Yeah, I'd say 40 feet or so.
Yeah.
Pretty rugged bounce.
Yeah.
It's nothing like live action radio.
No kidding. You never know.
But one day I just kind of was piddling around, kind of trying to decide to kind of replicate some of this. And you also got to remember, these people were probably fairly small.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a son that's extremely good athlete, and, he's about 6'3", about 180 pounds. And
wow.
And, he just was a good athlete. And so I had him carry about a 75-pound rock just to see how long it would take from the bottom of the hill all the way to the top. And it took him about, at Stoneford Bluff, about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. And that's per rock.
Oh, my gosh. And even though he's an athlete, a young, conditioned athlete, was he breathing hard?
Oh, yeah. And he'd have to set it down and climb, because it's all on steep spots. So it's not like you were just walking across flat land either. You'd have to set it down and climb and pick it up and move it up and down. And there are other places where we have these stone walls that would even be more difficult. There's a lot of time was put into these things.
That's, in my mind, I had a vision of people strapping them to their back and carrying it up the whole time. But no, you're probably right. Set the rock down, catch your breath, pick it back up.
Well, once again, I refer a lot of things back to when I was in Africa. But in an area known as in eastern Senegal, that's known as the Bassari country, it's very hilly there, and they have millet farms, and they grow millet, which is a grain. And what they do is they will go across the hill, across the valley, and they will take this millet and put it in this basket, put it on her head, and then they carry it. And they'll have a big long line of these boys. And they just spend all day long going back and forth and back and forth. And that's kind of how I imagine that this went.
The phrase bucket brigade pops into my...
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
The only kind of funny thing that they would do over there was, at the end of the line, there was a great big vat of millet beer. And they would all drink millet beer, and then they'd go get it. And by the end of the day, they were having a hard time carrying the millet.
Wonder why. Couldn't get much work out of them after a couple of millet beers. In fact, I think I've seen millet is grown here in southern Illinois. I think I've seen a few fields.
Ironically, the French brought that into West Africa as a food. Mostly what we use it for here is for bird feed.
Yeah, bird seed. Okay, so we're standing on top of Millstone Bluff.
Oh, this is Murray Bluff.
Murray Bluff. Millstone Bluff is...
No, that's Stoneford Bluff.
Stoneford Bluff.
Millstone Bluff is another one of the stone walls, okay. And it is down, would be probably about 20 miles south of here in Pope County.
Okay.
And that is a site, is another very interesting site, and it is a site that was probably inhabited for 1,000 years. The late Woodland people built a wall there, and then later on there was a Mississippian village there. And you can still, to this day, the Forest Service has done a great job of marking it off. There's a guided path that you can walk. You can see the indentions in the ground where the huts were, and there's a stone box graves cemetery up there.
Fascinating. So we are on top of this bluff, and of course, just on the other side is where you found the stone wall.
We can walk right on down here and see where it's at.
What you discovered.
As I said, that one of the reasons that I came to look, and I say discovered, but I guess in a kind of a way what I did was rediscovered. It had never been officially recorded by the Forest Service.
Right.
But the paper that I found just basically said that they went to take a look at the great rocks inside of the stone wall at Murray Bluff. And I found a picture of the Trigg Tour all sitting on top of these rocks that are right here in front of us.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of scattered out sitting on it. And the picture was probably taken from about right where we're standing. And there's probably about 25 men all dressed in ties and hats.
Yeah. And again, I think this was probably in July.
It was July 28th.
Goodness gracious.
So I can't even imagine. I guess they were just a whole different breed of people than we were.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And they all looked like they had on dress shoes. And you know how slick it was coming up here, so I can't even imagine how they got up here. But
yeah.
Funny thing about Mr. Trigg, his granddaughter is still alive, and she lives in El Dorado, and she does some talks ever so often, and she's a great source on L.O. Trigg. She said, "My grandfather never once in his life did not get dressed without long-handled underwear." And so it's not only the 28th of July, he's not only in a suit and tie, but he has on long-handle underwear underneath.
Well, no wonder he wasn't a very overweight man. He sweated everything off. Goodness gracious.
And, you know, and he is the responsible for the Shawnee National Forest. If anybody is, it's him. And his tours are what basically opened up so many of the areas that we know today as tourist destinations. And we have him to thank for. And a good friend of mine, Todd Carr, from Hardin County, which is another guy you probably need to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has just come out with a book. Basically, it's pictures of the Trigg Tours from the time that it started to the time they ended. And it's really neat. The pictures were all kind of found in an estate sale a few years ago. And they've been Charlie Hammond, who is a photographer and a guy that restores old pictures, is who put them all together. He's from El Dorado. It's been a great undertaking, and it's really neat to see Garden of the Gods with no trees.
We just think of it as trees have always been here, but at one time there was nothing.
That's right. I've seen old pictures of Stone Fort Bluff, which is covered in trees. There's not a tree up there. And what we don't realize, this place is, most of the growth that we have here is not that old. Matter of fact, Trigg got started with what was known as a reforestation project.
Because when the European settlers came over and started tearing down trees for agriculture, they soon found the soil around here really is not that good. And the prime years for growing stuff didn't last long, right?
That's exactly right. And if you're driving through the Shawnee National Forest and you see an area that is pine trees, that area was probably at one time either a cornfield or a hayfield. Because the Forest Service came in, and probably in the CCC camps, and people came in and planted those pine trees in those areas where at one time was a farm.
Fascinating. Well, let me get a picture. I'm going to use your camera, and I'd like to get a picture of you with those rocks in the background. Yeah, fascinating.